from the Gospel of Matthew. And when they came to the crowd, a man came up to Jesus and, kneeling before him, said, "Lord, have mercy on my son, for he is an epileptic and he suffers terribly, for often he falls into the fire and often into the water. And I brought him to your disciples and they could not heal him." And Jesus answered, "O faithless and twisted generation, how long am I to be with you? How long am I to bear with you? Bring him here to me." And Jesus rebuked the demon, and it came out of him, and the boy was healed instantly. Then the disciples came to Jesus privately and said, "Why could we not cast it out?" And he said to them, "Because of your little faith. For truly I say to you, if you have faith like a grain of mustard seed, you will say to this mountain, 'Move from here to there,' and it will move, and nothing will be impossible for you." This is the gospel of Jesus Christ. As we remain standing, please receive this scripture lesson for our sermon today from Matthew chapter 7, verses 7 through 11. Our Lord teaches, "Ask and it will be given to you, seek and you will find, knock and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks it will be opened. Or what man is there among you who, if his son asks for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will he give him a serpent? If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father who is in heaven give good things to those who ask him?" Thus far the reading of God's word. May the Lord add his blessing to the reading and the hearing and the application of his word in our lives. To him be the glory. And amen. You may be seated. Asking, seeking, knocking, let's just start with the asking. Ask. Asking in prayer is good. Asking in prayer is welcomed. It is invited. Our Lord even said, with what's called the Lord's Prayer, "Pray in this way. Make your requests. Ask. Give us today our daily bread." Ask. Ask for your daily bread. "Forgive us our debts." Ask for the forgiveness of your debts daily. "Deliver us from evil," or from the evil one. Ask. Go ahead. Give, forgive, and deliver us. Ask. Why do we not want to ask? Why do we not do this? Why does our Lord repeatedly say, "Go ahead and ask, you'll receive. Go ahead and seek, you will find. Go ahead and knock, and the door will be opened to you"? Is it because we have too high of a view of ourselves? Are we ashamed to make simple prayers? "Give us this day our daily bread." C.S. Lewis once commented that we will strive to make big, dignified statements in our prayers not because we have such a high view of God, but because we have such a high view of ourselves. Why do we not ask? Well, I don't want to bother. I don't want to bother the Lord with such little things. I don't want to pester. I don't want to be an annoyance. Perhaps it is considered to be humble to not ask. "You know, I just don't want to bother you. You know, I'll suffer on my own. I'll take it on my own." Consider this scene. It's a grizzled fellow. He's weather-beaten, a grizzled, weather-beaten character. And he's shuffling along, stammering, hesitating. Finally, he says, "Lord, I haven't ever really talked much to you. I haven't ever really asked you for much of anything. But I'm just asking for this one thing. just this one. Lord, I don't bother you much at all. Some might think, wow, what a humble person. It's not humble. It's actually arrogant. It's not arrogant. Maybe it's someone who's trying to make a deal with the divine. Lord, I haven't really pestered you, but now I'm just calling in one favor. Just this once. It's not humble. It's self-sufficient. I've been doing pretty well on my own. Our Lord says, ask in verse 7, it will be given. What? He says, seek and it will be, and you will find. Knock. And even children can hear that and they knock. Yes? Who's there? The door will be opened. And then the Lord repeats this again so that we get the promise. In verse 8, the one who asks, he's going to receive. The one who seeks, he finds. The one who knocks, it shall be opened. We're expected to do this. Our epistle reading, if any of you lacks wisdom, and every one of us raises our hands and says, that's me. If any one of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God. Go ahead and ask the Lord. Do you lack wisdom? We all lack wisdom. Stop, drop, and ask. Let him ask of God who gives to all liberally. Here, how much? Here's some more wisdom. You lack wisdom? Here's some more. And without reproach. What is that? He's not going to make fun of you if you come again and again and again. You know, say, Lord, I asked you for this morning. I'm going to ask again at noon. I'm going to ask again in the evening. Morning, noon, and night. Hours of prayer. I'm going to ask for wisdom. The Lord does not say, oh, you again. Any of you lacks wisdom? Ask the Lord. We're expected to do this. We are invited to do this. The Sermon on the Mount, we are children. You know, the way we love even our enemies shows that we're children of our Father, that we're sons and daughters of our Father in heaven, the way we love even enemies. How much more so the way we love one another? Do you ask for one another or do you judge one another? That's the context here in Matthew 7. Are we judging, picking, pecking, peck, poke, poke? Or do we love one another enough to pray, to seek, to ask, to knock on their behalf? Matter of fact, the Lord's Prayer begins with, our Father, we are children. We are children. The Heavenly Father, our Heavenly Father is our standard. And you know what our Lord does here? He even allows us, he points us to other fathers. So what I'd like to do right now is, this is a little odd, but I'd like every father in here to raise his hand. And I'd like everyone else to look around. Every father. Okay. Our Lord says here in Matthew 7, you know, you're children of our Heavenly Father, even earthly fathers. What man is there among you who, if his son asks for bread, son comes and says, Dad, Papa, Father, Daddy, I'm hungry. Which father that just raised his hand, and what our Lord is doing is he's interacting with the multitudes. He's saying, which father is there among you that if his son comes and says, Dad, I'm hungry, I'd like some bread, will the father say, well, here's a stone, son. Put that in your mouth, it'll hold you over for a while, son. Isn't that what the devil did? Temptation, hey, this bread, these stones, turn these into bread. You're not going to be devilish. You're not going to do that to your son. Or the Lord gives another example. A son comes to you and says, Dad, I'm hungry. Can I have some fish? Which father here would say, I'm out of fish, but I have a rattlesnake. I have a serpent. Here, you can have this. No father would do that. Luke's gospel actually adds one more. The son asks for an egg. Says, which dad is going to say, you want an egg, son? Here's a scorpion. So what does our Lord say? If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give good things to those who ask him? Evil? little uncomfortable here. Evil. What does this mean? What does this mean? Here it is. Every father that just raised his hand and every father that was listening to our Lord's first teaching of this Sermon on the Mount and every father that has ever heard this, read this, every father knows that his very best deeds, his best actions are tainted with transgressions, stained by sin, smeared with his own selfishness. Every father. So if you, Daddy, know how to give good gifts to your son? So here's what's happened. I listened, but I listened begrudgingly. I did it. I listened. Or I fed. I gave the bottle. But I did so in an irritated way. I spent time, but it was abbreviated and distracted. I helped with her homework, but I was short with and I was snappy and I was bothered. Yeah, I changed the diapers and I did the dishes, but the whole time I've been counting how many times I have done it. I did the deed. How many you being evil? Every one of your deeds is smeared and stained by your sin. Matthew Henry says, such a man is morose and ill-humored. Morose, sullen or gloomy. Yeah, I'll do it. Working his best curmudgeon. Yeah, I'll get up. So we'll care, but we'll do so in a cranky way. We'll give time, but we're troubled to do so. We did it, but we mumbled and murmured the whole time. Evil us. Our Heavenly Father cares, Jesus says, much more. There's no evil in His good giving. It's always pure. Yet we don't ask. We don't ask. So today, very succinctly, what about gospel asking? What about gospel asking? How about this? Parents asking for their children. How about this? How about friends asking for friends? Husbands asking for wives? Wives asking for husbands? Children asking for parents? But let's do just this. Parents asking for children. That's why this sermon is titled Prayers From and For the Children. I would like to remind you of what you've already read. Gospel asking. Not long after this Sermon on the Mount concludes, you meet in Matthew chapter 9 a ruler of the synagogue, a religious leader, and he approaches Jesus and he falls down and worships him and says, "My daughter has just died." He approaches the divine. He approaches Jesus and says, "My daughter has just died, but if you will come and lay your hand on her, she will live." So Jesus arose and he went and his disciples followed. They make it to the house. She's already dead. And Jesus says, "Oh no. Make room. She's asleep." And he raises her up. "Little girl, I say to you, arise." What was going on in Daddy's mind? I asked. And he received. He received more than just an answer from Jesus. He received his daughter back from the dead. We keep turning our gospel pages, and we meet that woman from Canaan, a Canaanite woman. She was the woman we referred to last week who referred to herself like unto a little dog. Jesus says, "I have come to the lost sheep of the house of Israel, not to the Gentiles." And she says, "Yes, Lord, but even the little dogs get the crumbs from the master's table." And he says, "Wondrous faith, wondrous faith." What was her concern? "Have mercy on me, O Lord. I'm crying out, O Lord, Son of David, my daughter is severely demon-possessed." Great is your faith, dear lady. be it done for you as you desire. Do we pray for our children? What did we just witness? It's not up to us. It's up to the Lord. Our gospel lesson today, Matthew 17. And when they had come to the multitude, a man came to Jesus, kneeling down. He falls down. And parents, you've been there. When you're concerned about your children, what do? You've been times where you've just dropped to your knees. Lord, have mercy on my son, for he is an ailment. It's likened unto an epilepsy. The original Greek says moonstruck. It's various and sundry ailments that manages him mentally and spiritually and bodily. He suffers severely. He often falls into the fire and often into the water. It's a devilish reversal of the Exodus. He throws him into the fire to kill him. He throws him into the water to drown him. Lord, have mercy on my son. I brought him to your disciples. They couldn't cure him. And Jesus speaks out. We tend to think, oh, he's just ripping into these people, you faithless generation. That's true. It was a generation around the temple where there were all kinds of demons. What was going on? Why were there so many demons around the place of worship? Faithless generation. I'm not going to be with you that long. Bring the child to me. Jesus rebukes the demon. It came out of him, and the child was cured this way. From that very hour. That's what that means. Right then. Daddy cries out to the Lord. He prays to the Lord. In Matthew 19, children were brought to Jesus so that Jesus might pray for them. Pray for our children. Parents, do we not desire our Lord to bless our children? Brothers and sisters, do you not desire the Lord? One of the sweetest prayers I've ever heard from one sibling about another is, Lord, please bless my brother with your presence and guidance. Bless my sister with your favor. Ask. As children, we pray for the children. And, you know, as the children of God, we pray for the children of God. We pray for them during birth. We pray for them as they learn to toddle. We pray for their learning, their friendships. We pray that they will be. What did John say? I have no greater joy than to see my children walking in the truth. Every parent in here and every godly friend in here says this: I have no greater joy than to see the children, than to see Bruce walk in the truth. This praying for our children, prayers from the children and for the children, is more essential than parenting techniques. How many books do you want to read on parenting and you're not praying for your children? Every father in here, if he was to raise his hand again, would say, me. I've tried this and I've tried that, and I haven't prayed. It is truly theirs and our greatest need. It is our highest service, which is actually our lowest service, and this is why down is the new up. Why not? Why do we wait? Prayers for the children and from the children. Why not look over the little one while he is in the crib? Or the little girl while she is falling asleep at the table? Or your family when they gather around the dinner table? And you begin this way: I will lift up mine eyes to the hills, John, so that you know from whence comes my help. My help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth and even made you and you. And when you pray for their future spouse, he is the one who made them as well. He will not allow your foot to be moved. I may fail you, son. He is the one who will keep you, and he will not fall asleep. He will keep Israel. He will keep the people of God. He will neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord is your keeper. The Lord is your shade at your right hand. The sun shall not strike you by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord shall preserve you from all evil. The Lord shall preserve your going out and your coming in from this day forth and forever. Prayers from the children and for the children. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, amen.